Hi, Dave Remmer here. This is For the Record program number 1140, Deep Politics and the Death of Park Won-soon, Part 1. This is being recorded on July 16th of the year 2020. Although we are taking a break from the actual BioPsyop Apocalypse Now series, the next several programs will be dealing with not only the political context for the COVID-19 outbreak, which took place in the middle of an overt and covert full-court press against China, but we also are going to be taking a look at some of the deep politics in Asia, Korean deep politics and history, and Chinese deep politics and history to an overlapping or in an overlapping fashion. One really cannot understand the history of Asia without understanding not only the Second World War, but understanding one of the most important books ever written. That book is called Gold Warriors, not Cold Warriors, but Gold Warriors as the metal, by Sperling and Peggy Seagrave. I have used that in many programs in the past, and it will be featured, in this series as well. It is one of those books that I think a person living today has to read in order to properly understand the world that they live in. Now, Park Won-soon was the mayor of Seoul, South Korea. He was a probable presidential contender in the South Korean presidential elections for 2022. He was a major political reformer. He had done groundbreaking work on behalf of women's rights. He was an anti-corruption crusader, had successfully led efforts to unseat the conservative president of South Korea, and also was instrumental in getting corruption charges brought against the former head of the giant Samsung Electronics Company, who is now serving time in jail. Who was convicted of corruption. I don't know if he's actually still in prison. Park Won-soon also had done much on behalf of college students, had successfully lowered college tuitions, and he was a fierce critic of Japan's colonial occupation of Korea, something that took place for much of the first half of the 20th century, and something through the politics of Korea today, both North and South, and through the overlapping golden lily and black gold dynamic that we have spoken about so many times in the past in connection with the book Gold Warriors. It is something that resonates today. Park Won-soon had been an advocate of reconciliation with North Korea, and as such would have run afoul of the U.S. national security establishment. One of the things that we will review in this program concerns the fact that the current U.S. ambassador to Korea is a Japanese-American, someone of mixed Japanese and American heritage. He's a full-blown American citizen. Beyond that, he is a very powerful and important man. The gentleman in question is Harry B. Harris, Jr., although now technically U.S. ambassador to South Korea. He is the former commander of the entire Naval Pacific Command. Again, a very important and very powerful man, and someone that I strongly suspect is actually working for either the Office of Naval Intelligence and or CIA. I think he is a major intelligence operative in all probability, and certainly his history working in counterterrorism and anti-submarine warfare, those are both naval functions that overlap the intelligence community. More about Harry Harris later on in the program. One of the things that is worth noting here, something fundamental, is that Park Won-soon had filed a lawsuit against the leaders of the Shin Chon-ji fascist mind control cult. That cult, which we have spoken about in a number of programs, was certainly a vector for introducing the SARS-CoV-2 and the COVID-19 pandemic into South Korea, with a branch in Wuhan. I suspect it may very well have been one of the vectors for bringing the virus into Wuhan in the first place. The Shin Chon-ji cult has both doctrinal and operational overlap with the Unification Church of the Reverend Sun Myung-moon, as we have looked at in past discussion, including an interview conducted in 1991 with Daniel Junis. The evidence suggests very strongly that although nominally Korean, it is actually an extension of the Japanese patriotic and ultranationalist societies around the world and through the ages. Two of the key people in connection with the Unification Church are Kodama Yoshio and Sasakawa Roichi, both of them very prominent Japanese fascists associated with not only the Japanese occupation of much of the Pacific and looting of Japan and China in particular, but also with the post-war Japanese fascist infrastructure and with strong links to U.S. intelligence and the World Anti-Communist League as well, or the former World Anti-Communist League. Through any number of things, Park Won-soon would have run afoul of very, very powerful interests in the U.S., and in that regard would have been a candidate for political destruction. I would note that his apparent suicide could have been done in any one of a number of ways. It occurred just after a secretary of his or administrative assistant filed charges with the police, alleging that he had sexually harassed her and also other people, other female members of his staff. That is worth noting because the late Park Won-soon was a groundbreaking worker on behalf of women's rights, and as a lawyer had successfully litigated the first sexual harassment case in South Korea, done other things on behalf of women as well. Running afoul of the big business interests in Korea, running afoul of U.S. national security interests by advocating reconciliation with North Korea, being a critic of Japan's occupation of Korea when Korea was a Japanese colony, and in particular calling attention to the comfort women, the slave prostitutes who were recruited, or not recruited, but impressed into duty to service the Japanese army. That would have all made him a thorn in the side of very powerful interests. Any number of things could have happened. He had two children, just for the sake of argument. He could have been convinced to kill himself if they simply made it clear that he was going to face charges of sexual harassment and that his children, one or both, might be murdered if, in fact, he did not dispatch himself. He could very easily have been placed under mind control, suppose, for the sake of argument, again, from an intelligence standpoint, if his secretary had been an operative, she could have drugged him, gained his confidence, slipped him a Mickey, so to speak, with a cup of coffee or a cup of water or something, and then he could have been hypnotized and convinced to, or basically manipulated into killing himself. In the AFA programs, numbers 5 through 7, and also in a For the Record series in the 900s, I talked about the intelligence community's mind control programs, very successful and, in my opinion, and perhaps even more important than nuclear weapons, the successful development of and operational deployment of mind control is as important as anything that one could study in the field of not only power politics, but also anti-fascism. And the silence surrounding this consummately important technology is, I think, one of the most damning things, one of the most damning aspects of our political and journalistic culture. The conformity that dominates both is, well, shameful. I think from a philosophical standpoint, the successful development of mind control could be viewed as almost satanic. There have been, since time immemorial, successful efforts to coerce or to deceive the human will. But with mind control, the human will can be completely subverted. And just for the sake of argument, this Secretary of Park Won-soon's, who had filed the sexual harassment charges against him, had been an operative, it would have been very easy to drug him and to get him to take his own life. Or, again, he could have been confronted and told in no uncertain terms that his kids would be killed. The hashtag MeToo phenomenon that I discussed in For the Record programs 998 through 1001 is, as I have termed it, weaponized feminism. I should be not talking about feminism, but weaponized feminism. And I spoke about the political destruction of Al Franken and Representative John Conyers, among others. I would note that in the case of Al Franken, his accusers are not only come from the far right, but when the accusations began to mount against Al Franken, there have since been a number of people of Janet Mayer of the New Yorker magazine wrote an article that indicated that things vis-a-vis Al Franken were not as they were made out to be. But when the firestorm of hashtag MeToo allegations began to build against Al Franken, Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post, formerly married to right-wing Republican Michael Huffington, and then having politically molted her feathers and emerged as a progressive, unquote, journalist or editor, the Huffington Post offered an anonymous forum for women to come forward anonymously and lay charges of sexual harassment against Al Franken. That paradigm figures into a summary of the use of, again, not feminism, but weaponized feminism and the hashtag MeToo phenomenon as a vehicle for political destruction. And again, to see this and understand this properly, one must look at this from the standpoint of intelligence and counterintelligence. So too, one should examine, in my opinion, the death of Park Won-soon. From the written description for the Record 1001, from the standpoint of counterintelligence analysis, the hashtag MeToo phenomenon signals a superb tactic for political destruction. A. Infiltrate a woman into the entourage or professional environment of a male politician, media, or a business figure targeted for destruction. B. Have her gain the trust of her political target and his associates. The cardinal rule for a good double agent is make yourself indispensable to the effort. C. After sufficient passage of time, surface the allegations of sexual harassment. D. If the opportunity for actual sex play and or flirtation presents itself, take advantage of it for later use as political or rhetorical ammunition. E. With accusers having the tactical luxury of remaining anonymous, the operational template for a form of sexual McCarthyism and the precedent-setting contemporary manifestation of a sexual star chamber is very real. The operational similarities between much of the hashtag MeToo movement and the Salem witch trials should not be lost on the persevering observer. F. Proper vetting of the accusations is absent in such a process. G. For a public figure in the U.S., proving deliberate defamation, libel, or slander is extremely difficult and litigation is very expensive. The mere surfacing of charges is enough to taint someone for life, and the exorbitant expense of litigation is prohibitive for all but the wealthiest among us. And again, was that done to Park Won-soon. Might that secretary actually have been an operative on behalf of one or another intelligence service, and or some of the powerful interests, Korean, American, or Japanese, that he had run afoul of? Well, that is something that I suspect. And again, note not only the powerful interests that Park Won-soon had run afoul of, note the fact that he was an odds-on contender to become president of South Korea by 2022, note the fact that he had filed a lawsuit against the fascist mind control cult, the Shinjeonji, overlapped with the Unification Church. Now, turning to the death of Park Won-soon, from the Associated Press of July 9th of 2020, missing Seoul mayor's body found after massive search, this by Hyung Jin Kim and Kim Tong-hyun. It reads in part as follows. The missing mayor of South Korea's capital, reportedly embroiled in sexual harassment allegations, was found dead early Friday, more than half a day after giving his daughter a will-like message and then leaving home, police said. Police said they located Park Won-soon's body near a traditional restaurant in Wooded Hills in northern Seoul, more than 7 hours after they launched a massive search for him. Choi Ik Su, an officer from the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency, told reporters there were no signs of foul play and no suicide note had been found at the site or in Park's residence. He refused to elaborate on the cause of Park's death. Choi said rescue dogs found Park's body and police had recovered his bag, cell phone, and business cards. His daughter called police on Thursday afternoon and said her father had given her, quote, a will-like, unquote, verbal message in the morning before leaving home. She didn't explain the contents of the message, said an officer at the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency who was responsible for the search operation. Skipping down. The reason for Park's disappearance was not clear. The Seoul-based SBS television network reported that one of Park's secretaries had lodged a complaint with the police on Wednesday night over alleged sexual harassment, such as unwanted physical contact, that began in 2017. The SBS report, which didn't cite any source, said the secretary told police investigators that an unspecified number of other female employees at Seoul City Hall had suffered similar sexual harassment by Park. NBC television carried a similar report. Choi, the police officer, confirmed that a complaint was filed with police against Park on Wednesday. He refused to provide further details, citing privacy issues. Skipping down. Park, 64, a longtime civic activist and human rights lawyer, was elected Seoul mayor in 2011. He became the city's first mayor to be voted to a third term in June of 2018. A member of President Moon Jae-in's Liberal Democratic Party, he had been considered a potential presidential candidate in 2022 elections. Park had mostly maintained his activist colors as mayor, criticizing what he described as the country's growing social and economic inequalities and corrupt ties between large businesses and politicians. Again, noting this, Park had mostly maintained his activist colors as mayor, criticizing what he described as the country's growing social and economic inequalities and corrupt ties between large businesses and politicians. As a lawyer, he was credited with winning the country's first sexual harassment conviction. He has also been an outspoken critic of Japan's colonial-era policies toward Korea, including the mobilization of Korean and other women as sex slaves for Japanese soldiers. Park also established himself as a fierce opponent of former conservative president Park Geun-hye and openly supported the millions of people who flooded the city's streets in late 2016 and 2017, calling for her ouster over a corruption scandal. Park Geun-hye, a daughter of late authoritarian leader Park Geun-hye, was formally removed from office in March of 2017 and is currently serving a decades-long prison term on bribery and other charges. And another article about Park Wonsoon, this from the New York Times, pages A1 to A11, by Cho Sang-hoon, scandal paints a political star at his suicide. Some of the key excerpts from this, and also repeating some from the article we just read. The People's Solidarity for Participatory Democracy, a civic group Park Wonsoon helped found, has become a leading watchdog on corrupt ties between the government and big businesses, launching investigations and lawsuits that have often led to convictions of business tycoons on corruption charges. The group was involved in the lawsuits that led to the 2009 conviction of Lee Kun-hee, chairman of Samsung, on charges of embezzlement and tax evasion. In his 9 years as Seoul's mayor, Mr. Park drove an endless series of policy initiatives. He lowered college tuitions, installed a free Wi-Fi connection in public parking lots and municipal parks, and converted part-time workers in city finance corporations to full-time employees. He has also been an outspoken critic of Japan's colonial-era policies toward Korea, including the mobilization of Korean and other women as sex slaves for Japanese soldiers. Protesters have often picketed City Hall, calling Mr. Park a commie, unquote, for promoting reconciliation with North Korea and for his past opposition to the deployment of troops from South Korea to Iraq. As a lawyer, he won a host of landmark cases for press freedoms and women's rights. After winning the country's first sexual harassment case, he was honored with the Women's Rights Award in 1998 from the nation's top women's groups. He also pushed to make Seoul's streets safer at night for women by deploying escorts for women walking in deserted alleys where crimes had taken place. He also introduced a smartphone app for women that alerts the police when they face danger at night. Female sheriffs also check public toilets for women in Seoul to find and destroy hidden sex cans. Aside from the fact that he was a crusader for women's rights and won the country's first sexual harassment case, something that casts doubts, it doesn't rule out the possibility that he was himself a harasser, but I've got my doubts about the official story. And again, working someone in or more than one secretary into his entourage would be an easy thing for an intelligence service to do. And note some of the powerful interests that he had run afoul of. Again, he was very critical of the overlap between big business and politics and the corruption that resulted from that. He had been something of a civic crusader in a number of ways, an outspoken critic of Japan's colonial-era policies toward Korea, including the mobilization of Korean and other women as sex slaves for Japanese soldiers, and the advocacy of reconciliation with North Korea would have placed him in the crosshairs of the U.S. national security establishment, as well as those of South Korea and Japan as well. Now note that he also had filed suit against the fascist Shincheonji mind control cult with both doctrinal and operational overlap with the Unification Church, which I will review. In For the Record 1118, we talked about the Shinshanji cult. It certainly was a vector for introducing the COVID-19 pandemic into South Korea. The church has a branch in Wuhan and may very well have been a vehicle or one of the vectors for bringing the virus into Wuhan as well. From CNBC of March 1st of 2020, Seoul mayor sues South Korea religious group for murder and injury over spike in coronavirus cases. This by Saheli Roy Choudhury, Choudhury. Seoul City Mayor Park Won-soon has sued key leaders of a church at the center of South Korea's sudden surge in the number of confirmed cases for the new coronavirus that has infected over 87,000 globally. Park said on Facebook that he was suing the Shinshanji leaders for murder, injury, and violation of prevention and management of infectious diseases, unquote. The mayor of Seoul has sued key leaders of the Shinshanji religious group at the center of South Korea's sudden surge in the number of confirmed cases for the new coronavirus. Mayor Park Won-soon said on Facebook that he was suing the key leaders of Shinshanji for murder, injury, and violation of prevention and management of infectious diseases, unquote, according to a translation from NBC News. Park reported 12 leaders to the Seoul Central District Prosecutor's Office on Sunday. Skipping down. Contributing to the exponential rise in cases was the city of Daegu, D-A-E-G-U, and specifically the secretive religious group called Shinshanji, according to the country's Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As of Sunday morning, the group accounted for almost 60% of all cases in the country, with most of them centered in Daegu. Quote, "We can handle the COVID-19 situation as soon as possible only when we forcefully investigate the 12 branch heads of the Shinshanji sect, along with Lee Man-hee, the chairman of the sect," unquote, Park said in his Facebook post on Sunday. Lee is the founder and spiritual leader of Shinshanji Church of Jesus. "The prosecutors need to carry out a rigorous investigation and make sure it leads to a strict punishment on the Shinshanji leadership that is at the center of this crisis," unquote, Park added in a separate statement posted to the mayor's office website. Note, by the way, that the members of this cult are notoriously secretive, oftentimes not even their family members know that they are members of it. Again, hypothetically, perhaps one or more of the secretaries was an operative on behalf of the cult, and perhaps also of one or another intelligence service. Again, that is speculative, but I find the timing and the fact of his, quote, suicide, unquote, very suspicious, and I am suspicious of the charges against him as a manifestation of weaponized feminism. Reviewing some aspects of the Shinshanji cult from the New York Times of February 21st of 2020 by Cho Sang-hun, Shadowy Church is at center of coronavirus outbreak in South Korea. And skipping down. Jung Yoon-kyung, director of the Korea Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said the authorities were investigating reports that Shinshanji have operations in Hubei, the Chinese province that includes Wuhan, where the virus emerged. The South Korean news agency NEWSIS, capital N-E-W-S-I-S, reported on Sunday that Shinshanji had opened a church in Wuhan last year and that references to it had been removed from the church's website. Church officials could not immediately be reached for comment. And again, it appears that the church, which was sued by Park Won-soon, was certainly a major vehicle for vectoring South Korea, and I suspect it may also have been one of the vectors bringing the virus into Wuhan as well. When Park Won-soon filed suit against the 12 leaders of that church, he would have placed himself in the crosshairs of yet another powerful organization. As we have seen in the past, the Shincheonji cult has operational and doctrinal overlap with the Unification Church. And as we have seen in many past programs, including and especially those, for the record, 970, and programs featuring the interview that I have done with Daniel Junis, we have examined the Unification Church as a projection forward through the years and around the world of the Japanese patriotic and ultra-nationalist societies. One wonders if Shincheonji may be the same thing. From the website, Rival Korean Messiah builds workshop next to Unification Church FFWPU Cheongpyeong Center, benchmarking the Unification Church and Shincheonji of Lee Man-hee. This from the blog, How Well Do You Know Your Moon.tumblr.com from January 15th of 2015. Now this blog is translated from the Korean, so some of the verbiage may appear somewhat, or may strike you as awkward. Again, this is a translation from the Korean. Now, note that the Shincheonji cult of Lee Man-hee bought a major compound very close to that of one of the Unification Church's major compounds. On November 15th, 2012, Lee Man-hee and his wife Kim Nam-hee bought land from Hyundai Kia Hyundai Jeonggi-do Jeonggi Province for 3.15 billion won. A three-story training center with a marina was built at the location. And again, there is a picture that I will include in the written description for the show. It is in the written description for the record 1118 and for a news and supplemental post about the Shincheonji Church on the SpitfireList.com website. And more. Lee Man-hee attended a performance commemorating the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Little Angels Art Group, a Moon subsidiary, at the Sejong Center for the Performing Arts on September 7th. Lee and Kim also had a commemorative photo taken with Mr. Park Bo-hee. The Chungji Daily and the Unification Church World Daily News published favorable articles about this. By the way, Park Bo-hee, or Bo-hee Park, was one of the early officials for the Unification Church. He also had served in the Imperial Japanese Army during the colonial, Japan's colonial occupation of Korea in World War II. Now note the doctrinal influence and overlap of the Unification Church with Shincheonji. Kim Kun Nam, one of the two authors of Shintan, S-H-I-N-T-A-N, which can be called the first doctrine of Shincheonji, is from the Unification Church. One more time. Kim Kun Nam, one of the two authors of Shintan, which can be called the first doctrine of Shincheonji, is from the Unification Church. Kim also served as a lecturer in the Unification Church itself. It is no exaggeration to say that Shincheonji doctrine developed on the basis of what Kim Nun Nam made. And again, he's a lecturer in the Unification Church and comes from the Unification Church itself. And note the, and there is a picture in there, there will be a picture in the description of the programs that shows the strong similarity between the ceremonial garb worn by the late Reverend Moon and his wife, and that worn by Lee Mon Hee and his wife, and as was the case with the Unification Church, Moon's widow was, or his wife, was his designated successor, and that certainly appears to be the case with Shin Jong-ji. After the death of Moon, the deification of Han was further strengthened. At present in the Unification Church, Hak Ja-Han is the holy and honorable god of the Bay for the first time in history. It was Moon who called himself True Father who made Han like this. Moon has said that Han is the second great leader of the Unification Church. Kim Nam-hee has the overwhelming support of Lee Mon-hee and became the mother of the people through a spiritual substitute at the head of a seminary. In the Gapyeong Shincheonji Training Center are expressed as Kim. This is a doctrinal footstep that makes Lee's successor, Kim Nam-hee, become the master of Shincheonji. So again, when the late Park Wonsoon, filed suit against the leaders of the Shincheonji, he was taking on an institution that was certainly a fascist mind control cult, but has overlap with the Unification Church, which not only works very closely with South Korean intelligence, but also with the CIA and with the elements of the former World Anti-Communist League, and indeed people like Sasakawa Roichi and Kodama Yoshio are people who bridge the gap between the Japanese fascist period and the milieu of Golden Lily and the later period of the Cold War. Kodama Yoshio was for many years the most important, but basically the CIA's most important operative in Japan. Now again, against the background of Shincheonji, against the background of the destabilization of China and the possible role of the Shincheonji cult in certainly vectoring South Korea, not possibly, it was certainly involved in vectoring South Korea. I suspect it may have, its Wuhan branch may have been involved in bringing the virus to Wuhan as well. And again, against the background of the death of Park Wonsoon, the current American ambassador to South Korea is a very, very important and powerful man. He was a ostensibly retired Admiral Harry B. Harris, Jr., and he was in charge of the U.S. Pacific Command for the Navy. Again, a very important, very powerful man. I suspect that he is working with either the ONI, the Office of Naval Intelligence, one of the most important and powerful American intelligence services, and or CIA. And I suspect he is involved with the full court press against China. He certainly has been an outspoken critic of China. He also is the offspring of a Japanese woman and an American sailor who served aboard the Lexington in World War II. This whole thing is an exercise in cognitive dissonance for me. I grew up with the old show Victory at Sea and the sinking of the Lexington at the Battle of the Coral Sea, the Lady Lex, as she was called, and the sinking of the Yorktown at Midway are two of the most iconic and sorrowful things in my childhood. And again, I grew up with Victory at Sea, and now learning the real story about World War II is a very painful thing for yours truly. Now, Admiral Harris is a mixed American and Japanese heritage, which may in and of itself be irrelevant. Many, many American service personnel married Japanese women and had kids. Again, the manager of the LA Dodgers, Dave Roberts, is the son of an African-American Marine and a Japanese woman. At the very least, though, Admiral Harris, who is a Japanese-American, having him as ambassador of Korea is certainly tone deaf. I wonder if perhaps, again perhaps, if his mother was just a regular Japanese woman, his ancestry would be irrelevant. If, however, for the sake of argument, she may have been affiliated with the patriotic or ultra-nationalist societies or the Kenpei Tai, their secret service, it might be very relevant indeed. Certainly the heritage of Admiral Harris has rubbed South Koreans the wrong way, and bear in mind that the late Park Won-soon was a critic of the Japanese colonial occupation of Korea. Another article from the New York Times, also by Cho Sang-hoon, this is from the Times of January 16th of 2020, "The American Mustache Ruffling Feathers in South Korea," talks about how important Admiral Harris was. In an interview with the Korea Times last month, Mr. Harris noted that throughout his career, his ethnic background had come into play only twice, by the Chinese and now by South Koreans. When he, retired Admiral Harry Harris, was head of the United States Pacific Command, he was outspoken about China's aggressive moves in the East and South China Seas, and China's state-run news media often cited his ethnic background when attacking him. Again, head of the U.S. Pacific Command, Admiral Harris is a very important, powerful individual, and I suspect that his role as ambassador to South Korea is an intelligence function. I suspect he's either OMI and or CIA. Reading from Admiral Harris's Wikipedia entry, we note that he was involved with counterterrorism and at one point was the commander of the Guantanamo Detention Center in Cuba. Counterterrorism is a major intelligence-related function. He also, and you, it's not in the description for the show, but if you go to the link to his Wikipedia entry, he was deeply involved with anti-submarine warfare as well. That is another of the major intelligence-connected functions in the U.S. Navy. And it is described in the some part of his military CV in his Wikipedia entry, Director of Current Operations and Anti-Terrorism Force Protection Division. In August 2004, in his first flag assignment, he reported to the Chief of Staff of the Chief of Naval Operations, where he was responsible for Navy Current Operations, the Navy Command Center, and Anti-Terrorism and Force Protection Policy. In March of 2006, he assumed command of Joint Task Force Guantanamo in Cuba. His service was notable as he was in charge when three prisoners, Mami Shaman Turki al-Habarbi al-Utaibi, Salah al-Abdullah Ahmed al-Salami, and Yasser Talal al-Zarani, died in the custody of U.S. forces. Defense reported the deaths as suicides, Harris said at the time. "I believe this was not an act of desperation, but an act of asymmetrical warfare against us." Investigations indicated the strong possibility that they may have died under torture. In any event, whatever the facts concerning their death, the point is that Admiral Harris was heavily involved with intelligence-connected activities. I will also note that there is a strong operational link between the World Uyghur Congress involved in the destabilization of China and Guantanamo. We will talk about that in, for the records, 1142 and 1143. Now again, the late Park Won-soon was a critic of the Japanese colonial occupation of Korea and of the comfort women, the slave prostitutes that the Japanese impressed from Korean society. We are going to talk about that, and this will bridge into a discussion of the history of Japan's colonization of and economic rape of Korea. That actually took place over centuries. The deep politics of Korean history, its occupation and losing by Japan, are very important for understanding not only Asian history, but Korean history in particular, that bears directly on the situation vis-a-vis not only the destabilization of China, but also the deep politics of the death of Park Won-soon. Again, bear in mind that in addition to being an advocate of reconciliation between the two Koreas and also a possible president in 2022, he was a critic not only of Japanese colonial occupation of Korea, but of the comfort women as well. We are going to return for a discussion of the comfort women to the aforementioned Gold Warriors by Sterling and Peggy Seagrave, published in softcover by Verso Books, copyright 2003 and 2005, by Sterling and Peggy Seagrave. There is a good discussion in that book of the comfort women. Note here a couple of things. First of all, that the comfort women were under the, they really predated World War II by quite some time. They were formally pressed into slave prostitution in 1904. That was when Korea was formally annexed as a Japanese colony. Note also that the comfort women were under the stewardship of the Kempeitai, that is K-E-M-P-E-I-T-A-I. That was the ruthless and very skilled Japanese secret service. Of the comfort women, the Seagraves write in Gold Warriors, "Worst of Japan's slave programs was that of the comfort women. Young girls, many not even 13 years old, were shanghaied into sexual slavery. After the war, Tokyo insisted all comfort women were merely prostitutes who volunteered, and that the entire operation was run by private enterprise. Both statements are demonstrably false. Beginning in 1904 in Korea, the Kempeitai took full charge of organized prostitution for the Japanese armed forces. One reason was the possibility that military secrets might be passed along in bed so its agents could ferret out careless soldiers or spies. At first, the brothels were subcontracted. By 1932, the Kempeitai resumed full control. A typical military brothel had 10 barracks, each divided into 10 rooms, plus a supervisor's hut, all enclosed in barbed wire to keep the women inside. Rural brothels were tents, while railway cars were fitted out as mobile brothels. Korean and Japanese Yakuza, those are the organized crime syndicates that were powerful Korean branches of it. They also, as we will see in our next program, the Japanese underworld was deeply involved with the Japanese national security establishment and deeply involved in the looting of both Korea and Japan and other countries occupied by Japan prior to or during World War II. Beginning again with that passage, Korean and Japanese Yakuza provided brutal security. Fees were based on a woman's ethnic origin. Japanese girls were top-rated, followed by Koreans, Okinawans, Chinese, Southeast Asians. Later, Caucasian internees were added. Commissioned officers paid 3 yen, non-commissioned officers, 2.5 yen, privates, 2 yen. Bookkeeping was thorough, with forms for each woman listing daily earnings and the number of clients. Up to 200,000 young women and adolescent girls were forced into this sexual slavery to serve more than 3.5 million Japanese soldiers. Each was expected to have 15 partners a day. Theoretically, they received 800 yen a month minus cost of food, clothing, medical care, soap, and water. As many girls were illiterate, they were easily cheated. Most made zero and were destitute at the end of the war. You can note that they were expected to have 15 customers a day. Continuing, because of the extreme secrecy to this day surrounding Japan's treatment of POWs, civilian slaves, and comfort women, we are prevented from knowing important details. However, among files captured by Britain's Royal Marines in 1945 is a revealing document written by the commander of a camp for POWs at Taihoku in Taiwan. The commander had just received instructions dated August 1, 1944 from the Chief of Staff, 11th Unit of Formosa, POW Security No. 10, Kempe Tai. In any emergency, he is instructed to deal with his prisoners in the following way. Quote, whether they are destroyed individually or in groups, or however it is done, with mass bombing, poisonous smoke, drowning, decapitation, or what, it is the aim not to allow the escape of a single one, to annihilate them all, and not to leave any traces, unquote. And aside from the obvious attempts at eliminating proof by eliminating the people involved, at an institutional level, Japan has never acknowledged the comfort women as such. That is one of the things that Park Won-soon was crusading against, and I suspect that that will not be discussed or hit upon by the hashtag MeToo movement. Note that the treatment of Asian women, in this case in particular Korean women, was meted out by the Japanese in other countries as well. Again, returning to Gold Warriors by Sterling and Peggy Seagrave, of the behavior of Japanese occupation troops when they occupied the Philippines. In Manila, Japanese soldiers moved through upper-class and middle-class neighborhoods, kidnapping pretty wives and daughters who were taken to hotels set aside for higher-ranking Army and Navy officers. Over several weeks, mothers and daughters were raped repeatedly until many were in a stupor, servicing up to 50 men a day. The Kempe Tai offered to return kidnapped family members in exchange for hidden treasure or securities or information about neighbors or relatives. At hospitals, nurses were sought as mistresses for Japanese officers. In poor families with no assets, wives and daughters were herded into brothels for non-commissioned officers and ordinary soldiers. And we will be continuing with our discussion of the history of Japanese occupation of Korea, the history also of Korea being protected for centuries by China, and the history, again, of Japan's colonial occupation of and centuries-long looting of Korea, the colonial occupation and the comfort women being a focal point of criticism by the late Park Won-soon. The final phase in Japan's military subjugation of Korea began with another crime against women, this, the brutal assassination of Korean Queen Min, M-I-N. Returning now to Gold Warriors. During the night of October 7th, 1895, 30 Japanese assassins forced their way into Korea's royal palace in Seoul. But bursting into the queen's private quarters, they cut down two ladies-in-waiting and cornered Queen Min. When the minister of the royal household tried to shield her, a swordsman slashed off both his hands. The defenseless queen was stabbed and slashed repeatedly and carried wailing out to the palace garden, where she was thrown onto a pile of firewood, drenched with kerosene, and set aflame. An American military advisor, General William Dye, D-Y-E, was one of several foreigners who heard and saw the killers milling around in the palace compound with drawn swords while the queen was burned alive. Japan declared that the murders were committed by, quote, Koreans dressed as Japanese in European clothes, unquote, a gloss greeted with ridicule by the diplomatic community. According to the British minister in Tokyo, Sir Ernest Satow, S-A-T-O-W, First Secretary Sugimura of the Japanese legation in Korea led the assassins. That's S-U-G-I-M-U-R-A. The grisly murder of Queen Min was a turning point in Japan's effort to gain control of Korea. Her husband, King Kojong, was a weakling controlled by the Queen's faction who were allied with China against Japan. Once the Queen was dead, the Japanese could easily control the King and put an end to Chinese interference. The coup was planned by Miura, M-I-U-R-A, Goro, G-O-R-O, agent of Japan's aggressive Yamagata clique. At first, the killing was to be done by Japanese-trained Korean soldiers, so it could be passed off as an internal matter. But to make sure nothing went wrong, Miura called for help from the Japanese terrorist organization Black Ocean. Parenthetically, the Black Ocean and the Black Dragon Society are two of the most important of the patriotic or ultranationalist societies in Japan. And again, it appears that the Unification Church is a projection forward in time and around the world of the Japanese patriotic and ultranationalist societies. And there is, as we have seen, doctrinal and operation overlap between the Unification Church and the Shincheonji cult, which was being sued by Park Won-soon, and was certainly a vector for bringing COVID-19 into South Korea. I suspect its branch in Wuhan may have been a vector for introducing the virus into Wuhan as well. I think there was more than one vector. Beginning again here. But to make sure nothing went wrong, Miura called for help from the Japanese terrorist organization Black Ocean. Many of its members were in Korea posing as business agents of Japanese companies, including the oldest Zaibatsu, Mitsui. Black Ocean and another secret society called Black Dragon functioned as Japan's paramilitaries on the Asian mainland, carrying out dirty work that could be denied by Tokyo. They were in position throughout Korea and China, running brothels, pharmacies, pawn shops, and building networks of influence by supplying local men with money, sexual favors, alcohol, drugs, pornography, and Spanish fly. While Black Ocean was obsessed with Korea, Black Dragon, named for the Amur or Black Dragon River separating Manchuria from Siberia, was dedicated to blocking Russian encroachment and seizing China for Japan. Black Ocean provided Miura with the professional assassins he needed, and the rest of the killers were security men from Japan's consulate. Whether they intended to kill the Queen in full view of foreign observers is another matter. Japanese conspiracies often began quietly and then went out of control. Queen Min's murder marks the beginning of this half century of extreme Japanese brutality and industrial scale plunder. Her killing shows how easily the mask of Japan's good intentions could slip to reveal hideous reality. And again, we will continue with the discussion of Japan's subjugation of Korea, as we will see the looting of Japan, of Korea by Japan, is not only something that brought a tremendous amount of wealth into Japanese coffers, but also into the golden lily, black gold, which is in many ways the foundation of much of the modern global economy, it having been melded with the black gold from that was looted by Nazi Germany. And again, not only the comfort women, but also Japan's colonial occupation of Korea, one of the focal points of criticism by the late Park Won-soon, as well as his lawsuit against the Shincheonji cult overlapped with the Unification Church. and also, again, Park Won-soon, an advocate of reconciliation with North Korea. This concludes For the Record program number 1140, The Death of Park, Deep Politics and the Death of Park Won-soon, Part 1. This is being recorded on July 16th of the year 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.